The following program comes to you as part of the Africa Health Network, a service of the Voice of America to our audience throughout the African continent.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lynn Ormoudou, and welcome to Health Chat. Most people think of hypertension or high blood pressure as something that affects adults, but did you know that children are also at risk? Well, experts say children do not carry the same immediate risks of heart attacks and strokes that adults with hypertension faced. However, it can still cause changes in their body, putting them at significant risk for complications. On the program today, we will discuss high blood pressure in children. And joining us via phone from Louisiana is Celeste Goodwin, president of the National Pediatric Blood Pressure Awareness Foundation, NPBAF. Mrs. Goodwin, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
And let me remind our listeners that this program is pre-recorded and we will not accept any phone calls today. We will have our discussion of childhood hypertension with Celeste Goodwin in a moment. But first, Voice of America's Carol Pearson has this report.
High blood pressure increases a person's risk of heart disease, no matter when he or she develops it. That's why doctors monitor blood pressure so carefully. A new study finds that young adults in their teens and 20s who develop high blood pressure are more at risk for heart disease by the time they reach middle age than those whose blood pressure is normal. Dr. Norina Allen at Northwestern University took over an ongoing study that started 25 years ago. The study followed blood pressure patterns of men and women between the ages of 18 and 30. The nearly 5,000 participants fell into common patterns: those whose blood pressure stayed within normal limits, those whose blood pressure was consistently high, and those whose blood pressure rose gradually over time, starting out at levels that were higher than normal, but not high enough for prescription medicines.
Individuals who had increasing blood pressure in middle age, or those who had high blood pressure by the time they hit middle age, were at greater risk for the development of heart disease by the time they were age 50.
The researchers also tested to see whether calcium, which you can see in these pictures, formed in the arteries of the heart. Calcium buildup can lead to heart attacks.
Individuals who had higher blood pressures, or those who increased their blood pressure from young adulthood through middle age, had a higher risk for this calcification, up to almost a 4 times higher risk.
Most of the young adults with high blood pressure had unhealthy lifestyles. They were overweight, ate fatty foods, didn't exercise, smoked, or had a combination of these habits. Two findings came out of this study. Your blood pressure when you're young can affect you as you age, and tracking blood pressure from the late teens on could save lives.
If we can identify which pattern an individual is likely to fall into, we may be able to identify who's at risk for the development of heart disease and intervene before they actually develop heart disease.
The study was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Dr. Allen says the study is continuing, and the researchers are now trying to find out how best to help patients with high blood pressure get healthier. Carol Pearson, VOA News.
Mrs. Goodwin, can you tell us first and foremost what got you involved? I believe there is a personal story to this, to your involvement in this issue, but can you tell us about that?
Yes, absolutely. 7 years ago, I was one of the parents that just walked along assuming that hypertension, high blood pressure, was something that only affected adults or older citizens, and that's not the case. We had a very personal experience. My son Matthew was 4 and a half. And had routine surgery to have tubes placed in his ears and have his tonsils removed, which is, done very commonly every day. And during the process of him having the surgery, his blood pressure got elevated. And, he did okay with it. He was discharged and able to come home and got very sick the afternoon of the surgery. And we brought him back to the hospital, and he was subsequently admitted and ended up in the intensive care unit by 6 o'clock the following morning with deadly blood pressures. His first reading in the hospital was 195 over 135. which even for an adult is considered very, very serious and life-threatening, much less a four-year-old child.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what kick-started everything. You know, we were dealing with a health crisis with our son. It was discovered about a week and a half later that he had a condition known as renal artery stenosis, which basically meant that the main artery that fed blood supply to his left kidney was blocked. Apparently it was something that he was born with, but it was something that had never been found because routine blood pressure assessments were not part of routine well child care.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once we kind of got in the midst of it and started learning and educating ourselves on, you know, this is a much more widespread issue than what we realized. And I said, you know, if this could happen to us, this can happen to someone else just as easily. And it's scary, you know. So we started looking into it and doing some research, and I kept seeing all of these studies that were coming up, you know, numbers as high as 1 million, 2 million American children that have undiagnosed high blood pressure. And those figures did not even take into account the children that have it and know it and are seeking treatment. These are just estimates of, you know, the kids that are walking around every day on playgrounds that have this and don't realize it.
So
my son's experience, it kind of kicked all that off.
So then when you did your research and you saw that so many children were affected, including your son, what did you see in terms of some of the causes? Because obviously your experience was after a specific medical surgery, but mm-hmm. What did you see in general? What were some of the causes?
In general, when children have high blood pressure, it's usually called secondary hypertension, which means it's going to be secondary to another underlying cause, whether it be a problem with their kidneys or whether there's a problem with their heart, the endocrine system, you know, some narrowing of the aorta, things of that nature can cause a child to be hypertensive, which are all very serious conditions. And when you look at a child with high blood pressure that could be affected by any number of these conditions causing them to be hypertensive as opposed to an adult, you know, if we go into the doctor's office as an adult and they take our blood pressure and it's high a couple of times, they're going to tell us maybe drop a few pounds, take some salt out of your diet, and let's reassess, you know, 6 months to a year and see how you're doing. But when a child comes in and presents with high blood pressure, usually it kind of sets up some alarms for physicians because there's something else at play that could be causing them to have high blood pressure. So you've got this condition that's causing harm to whatever system is being affected in addition to the hypertension that is also going to affect their body in the long term if it's not treated and addressed.
If it's triggered by an underlying condition, then how is it able to be detected if that condition has not manifested itself?
Routine blood pressure screening, that's the easiest way to do it. It's the simplest way. You know, the recommendations are in place by the American Heart Association and, you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics. These recommendations have been on the books for some time now that says that all children beginning at age 3 should have a regular routine blood pressure assessment, including with their annual well-child visits. Ideally, a child should be having their blood pressure taken whenever they enter a healthcare facility, regardless of why they're there, but at least at a minimum at their annual well-child visits, just to have a baseline and to know that if there's any changes, you know, from 1 year to the next, is there something else that needs to be looked at or addressed? And unfortunately, that is not being done across the board. You know, there are a number of healthcare facilities that do blood pressure screening for children whenever they present, but there's still a large number of physicians that are not incorporating this. And, you know, it's our understanding and our feeling that they're doing a disservice to their patients when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm. But it's true that, I mean, you're making such a good point, because when you talk about regular blood pressure screening for children, it's something a bit foreign to me. It's usually with adults that it's even in the conversation. For children, you think about other things, screening for other things as opposed to blood pressure. But then, how do we make this mainstream? This is one of your struggle. Obviously, you took on that challenge. How do you make that mainstream to ensure that when a child goes to the hospital, among other things, he gets screened for, even if there are no signs of high blood pressure, he should get that screening?
Absolutely. And it's education. It's speaking about it. It's making it known. It's letting everybody know that this is an issue. Because if you're not educated as a public on it, then you don't know. And I'm guilty of that. I was one of those parents 7 years ago. I had no idea. And honestly, if someone would have told me that kids had high blood pressure, I probably would have scoffed it off. And now being on the other side of it and realizing how important it is to educate create an open dialogue about this between not only, parents and making sure they're educated to know what their child's baseline blood pressure is, but with the healthcare community, you know, making sure that we're leaving open communication there with doctors to say, hey, you know, in your office, you have staff, you have the equipment. We're not asking them to go out and purchase, you know, thousands of dollars worth of equipment and do invasive testing on these children. It's a very basic vital that, you know, they're equipped to do. It's there. The blood pressure cuffs are there. We're just asking for them to use it and use them on a consistent basis. And that way, if there's any changes from year to year, you know, they've got a baseline to work off of. So we believe in education. We believe in getting the information to parents and making sure that people understand that it's so important to have that baseline blood pressure.
So let's talk about some of those underlying conditions. When you see a child, when we talk about children with obesity, I think then blood pressure become part of the discussion. So obesity is obviously one of the reasons why a child will be diagnosed for high blood pressure. Can you tell us about some of the other conditions that may trigger high blood pressure in children?
Sure. Obesity is a hot topic. You know, that is something, obesity in children is something that has been a big sounding board in the United States over the last couple of years because it's become, you know, epidemic in some areas. And, of course, a child, just like an adult that is obese or overweight, they're going to be more predisposed to have hypertension and the other issues that come along with carrying around extra weight. But, you know, one thing that we try to promote and we try to impress upon people often is that it's not just obese children that can be at risk for having this. You know, I've had parents before say, well, you know, my child is not necessarily overweight, so I don't think this is something that we have to worry about. Which is not the case, you know, because there are a number of underlying conditions. There's children who are born with congenital heart defects that without, you know, pulse ox screening and without blood pressure assessment, you know, these are the type of things that are missed and undetected until it's at a critical point. You know, unfortunately, every year in this country, we hear about student athletes who pass away at untimely deaths. Usually playing the sport that they love and they're so involved in. And these are the children that you look at and say, you are the epitome of health. You're active, you're moving, you know, you're involved in sports. And, you know, so many tragedies come out of that you just, your heart breaks for those families. And, you know, a lot of times there's underlying conditions that are found out about during autopsy or after the fact. And it's like, wow, you know, is there something that we could have known about before that could have possibly been addressed? And maybe not in every case, but in some of them, you know, if it saves one life, then it's worth it at that point to know that, you know, whether it be a renal condition that's present that may not have had any outward signs or symptoms. In my son's case, at 4.5, there was no physical observations you could make to say that he was as sick as he was. He was not overweight by any means and was having no outward signs or symptoms of the hypertension or of the kidney disease that was plaguing him. So the only way that we would have known that something was going on was with a routine blood pressure assessment, and that just wasn't done. And it probably would have been caught, you know, had he done that at, you know, his pediatrician's office or maybe some of his other visits, and it was just missed. And, you know, I've had people ask me, well, were you upset or were you angry at the doctor? No, I wasn't. You know, I wasn't because it wasn't as though the office was supposed to do the blood pressure and then just negligently didn't. It just wasn't a part of well-child care, and it's just not something that is across the board being done. You know, I'm proud to say that where he goes, his doctor that he's seen for the last 11 years, their office has now incorporated blood pressure as a part of their well-child visit. So, you know, that's a proactive change that has come from it. But, you know, we want to create a dialogue and open it up for people to understand the causes that go into this, the consequences that come from it if it's not treated, and hope that, you know, if we can save one child's life, then we're doing something good.
So how did you address your child's condition? How is he doing now? And is it something that is ongoing? Is on constant treatment? Can you tell us more about it?
Sure. In Matthew's case, he, like I said, he was diagnosed at 4.5. And
how long ago was that?
This was in 2007.
Okay.
So he had a balloon angioplasty done to open the renal artery, and it was a temporary measure to try to give him some time to grow and get a little bit stronger before he had to have a more invasive surgery. When he was 6 years old in 2008, he had an auto kidney transplant, which basically meant that they went in and removed his kidney and removed the blocked section of artery that was causing all of the issues. transplanted his kidney back into him. And within 2.5-3 months, he was completely normotensive. So he was able to get off of all of his blood pressure medications and kind of return back to just being a normal kid, you know, being a six-year-old and healing from the surgery and moving forward, which he did. And over the last 5 years, he's done really well up until this last fall. And he became hypertensive again, and we knew to measure his blood pressure. We do it frequently so that if there were any changes, and in his case, there were. We went from having normal blood pressures consistently to all of a sudden they're elevated again. So we knew when to seek out treatment. We saw his nephrologist, and we just found out in January that he actually has a small narrowing of his aorta. So right now we're in the midst of, you know, him seeking help for that and what our treatments are going to be to try to get that corrected. I will say, you know, his hypertension is controlled very well on his medication right now. And, you know, possibly with surgical intervention, we might be able to see him off of blood pressure medication again and return back to just being a normal kid. But, you know, I'm grateful that we have the education to know that blood pressure is serious, that we need to monitor it and assess it. So if there are changes, it can be addressed immediately. It's not something that a condition has to progress and get to a scary point again.
Yeah, and we really wish him well, and we know he's going to get better and better. We really wish that for him.
He will. He's very fortunate. You know, he's a very resilient child, and, you know, he believes in what we're doing with the Blood Pressure Foundation, and he's probably our most outspoken advocate about it because he sees the importance of it and, you know, the good consequences that can come about from being able to have early detection.
That's very, very important. And speaking of the foundation, tell us about what you are doing. I know you mentioned education is key. Tell us about how you are able to do your work, what type of support system you rely on, and what are some of the programs?
Sure. We're absolutely a 100% volunteer-based organization. We're a 501c3. All of the work that we do comes from the volunteers and donations that we receive. And we're very fortunate to have a great support system to be able to carry on the programs that we feel are important to educate parents, to keep a dialogue within the healthcare community. You know, we work very heavily on the healthcare side, working with doctors and hospitals to help them understand why, you know, it's so important to do these baseline blood pressure screenings. And we've seen change come. You know, in the last 4 years of us doing this, we've seen hospitals and doctors' offices that previously didn't do blood pressure screenings but have now incorporated it. And so, you know, those are good things that are coming about from it. And probably the greatest project that we do, and probably what is really our baby, is the BP for Kids School Screening Initiative, which allows us to go into schools and conduct free screenings for school-aged children. We try to target the segment of population, like, from pre-K through third grade, because we're seeing that this is usually the least underscreened segment of the population. For whatever reason, this is the age that is being missed, whether it's, you know, the kids aren't older to be in sports yet, where parents are having sports physicals or things of that nature. So we go in with volunteers and we, you know, have the parents understand what we're doing and why we're doing it. We have nurses that will come in and do the screening for us. And then we'll actually give a slip to the children so that they can bring home to their parents. If there's anything that is not within the normal range, we work with a school nurse to help her understand, you know, this is what we found. We'll need to do some repeats if necessary. And then she can be in touch with the parents as well. You know, our school nurses are a great liaison for us because, you know, they've got the contact with the children and with the parents. And if anything comes up that's amiss, that she can help us see that middle ground to get in touch with the parent and let them know, you know, you need to get this assessed pretty soon, you know, maybe have your child's doctor follow up and make sure that there's nothing else that's going on here. Mm-hmm. And inevitably, in almost every school screening that we do, we usually find one, if not two or three children that have higher than normal blood pressures that have never had a blood pressure reading before. You know, so when we hear the follow-up from the parents, thank you for doing this, you know, we had no idea that, you know, Susie was high. We were able to go to her doctor and get an assessment and, you know, realize that, hey, something else may be going on that we need to watch and monitor. Mm-hmm. So we see a lot of successes in doing that. And our goal is to see this done in every school across the country. If we can have annual screenings just like the traditional hearing and vision screenings have been done, then this is going to be a great way to fill in the gap between the healthcare facilities that aren't currently doing blood pressure readings for their kids whenever they come in. So that way we can make sure that every kid is at least having access to that baseline blood pressure. And that's our goal. That's our hope.
Okay. And we are going to take a very, very short break. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Celeste Goodwin of the National Pediatric Blood Pressure Awareness Foundation.
Do you love African music?
Music time in Africa.
Wake, 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 wake. Umaru, wake.
This is Heather Maxwell, and if you do, Music Time in Africa is the perfect show for you. Tune in to listen on the radio Saturdays and Sundays at 0900 2000 and 2100 UTC. You can also listen to the show day or night on the internet. Go to voanews.com and voaafrica.com and click on Music Time in Africa. You'll find past and present radio shows and a link to my blog, African Music Treasures. This is Africa through its own music. Oldies, classics, traditional music, Afropop, and fusion. You get it all right here in one beautiful bundle on VOA's Music Time in Africa.
And welcome back to the show. Our guest today is Celeste Goodwin, National Pediatric Blood Pressure Awareness Foundation. She is the founder, and she has a very compelling story, started this foundation from her own experience with her son. Now, part of your programs, as I was reading about your organization on the website, is you have a cooking program as part of what you do. Can you tell us about that and why it is important to include cooking for kids as part of your program?
Absolutely. I mean, a part of being healthy is making sure that you have a healthy diet. You know, activity and lifestyle is key in making sure that we're doing everything we can to keep ourselves healthy. And that's no different for our children. We want them to be active, but we also want to make sure that what they're eating and what they're consuming is good. You know, unfortunately, we are a fast food nation. So, you know, it's very easy for working parents to say, you know, we'll just swing through the drive-thru today and pick something up. And, you know, when you think about the content of that food for so long, it can have negative health effects. So we believe in incorporating healthy meals. And part of doing that, we sat down and decided, you know, there's a middle ground here that we can kind of reach, so to speak, with being able to share some of these good recipes and being able to help fund our programs that we do. So we created the Cooking for Kids cookbook about 2 years ago, which has been a really, really huge success for us. It's something that we took recipes from different contributors, some individuals, some groups, some organizations, some restaurants, and put it into this cookbook. And we're able to share a low-sodium section, a section that's meant just for kids, kind of a fun section for kids to be able to prepare their own fun treats, so to speak. And we use these cookbooks as fundraising cookbooks to be able to fund our programs, like the school screening program that we do. So we've seen a lot of success with that, and it's something that we feel is important to make sure that everybody understands. You know, not only do we need to move, not only do we need to have our blood pressure taken, we also need to make sure that what we're putting into our body is good for us as well.
Mm-hmm. That's a very, very good point. And now, when you look at the different steps, perhaps you can walk us through some steps to prevent a child from developing blood pressure. You brushed on that, you know, you said many, many things. But if you were to give us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, however many steps you think are important, can you do that and give us a sense of what is, should be done by a child or by parents to make sure that the child is safe from high blood pressure?
Well, it's kind of difficult to say that, because if a child is going to be predisposed to hypertension from lifestyle changes or lifestyle habits, that's something that's very easy to control, just like as an adult. You know, you can say, make sure you're watching the amount of sodium that you're taking in, making sure that you're staying active, making sure you're doing everything you can to stay on top of your health condition. But if a child is going to be predisposed to hypertension from an underlying cause, then that's something completely separate. You know, a lot of these conditions that cause a child to have secondary hypertension are congenital conditions. They're conditions that sometimes they're just born with for whatever reason. If there's a heart condition or a kidney condition, a lot of times if it's congenital, there's nothing that can be done about that except, you know, identifying it and seeking treatment to prevent it from getting any worse. So, you know, it's kind of hard to say because each child in each situation is going to be different. And, you know, and as I alluded to earlier, most of the children that have hypertension, especially those that are not quite yet puberty age, from, say, you know, 12 or 13 and under, are going to be those that fall into the class of secondary hypertension. So there's usually some other identifiable cause that can be pinpointed to understand why this child is having higher than normal blood pressures. Now, as a child, some studies have shown that as they reach puberty and into their teen years and things of that, then if there are factors that are in place, maybe from parents that have hypertension, there could be a hereditary issue going on, then that's something that's completely different. And that's when you would want to look at lifestyle adjustments and things of that nature. But probably the first and most important thing that parents can do is seek out a baseline blood pressure starting at age 3. So even if you see a healthcare provider, your pediatrician, that maybe in the past they haven't done blood pressure assessments, you're within every right to ask the next time you take your child in, whenever they're weighing them and getting their height measurement and taking their temperature, ask them, hey, can you do a baseline blood pressure? Can you just get it in their chart? And that way next year when they go back in, you can know if there's any changes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the ideal time would be to get that at a well child visit. You know, if a child is sick or if they're hurting, of course their blood pressure can be elevated. So, you know, that may not be the best time to get a baseline blood pressure. Always advisable to have a blood pressure reading, even if they are sick, but to have that baseline blood pressure to put in their chart to document for changes, that may be better suited for a well child visit whenever they're a little more relaxed and not feeling bad.
Okay. And what does it entail, taking a baseline blood pressure? Is it just like with the adults, the small machine on your arm, and is it a different type of screening?
No, it's exactly like it is for an adult. There's, of course, a much smaller size cuff that is used. And that's another thing that's really important. You want to make sure that the healthcare practitioner is using an appropriate sized cuff for your child's arm. There are cuffs from the teeny tiny neonatal cuffs that are used in, you know, NICUs when babies are born, up to extra large cuffs for super large adults. So there's a variety of sizes in there, and the size of the cuff can definitely weigh into the correct outcome.
And can you remind us of what is a normal read for a child? What would be considered normal?
That's a great question, and that's going to vary. It's going to vary in age. If you go to our website at bloodpressure4kids.org, we actually have a sample chart on there that will give you an idea of what an acceptable baseline blood pressure is for a 3-year-old as opposed to a 17-year-old. It's going to vary by gender, whether you're male or female, and it can also vary by age. The younger you are, the lower your number should be as a normal. As you grow and as you get older, then, of course, that number is going to grow with you. For an adult, you know, we've always heard the traditional 120 over 80 is going to be what's an acceptable range for adults. And there's even some variation in there as well. But for a child, if you have a 3- or 4-year-old child that's having a consistent blood pressure of 120 over 80, that's entirely way too high for them, and that's something that needs to be assessed. So it's important, again, for parents to know what is an acceptable number for their child based on their age and their height and their gender, and then to know what their child's baseline is.
Okay, that's a very good point. And before we wrap up, Mrs. Goodwin, do you have any final words that you would like to share about your work or the issue as a whole?
Just creating a dialogue. You know, the more people that talk about it and make it part of everyday conversation, the more people that are going to become aware of it. So, you know, those that are listening, the next time that you sit down and you're having coffee with your friend, you know, mention it to them. Hey, I heard this the other day. Has your kid ever had their blood pressure taken? And, you know, when you create dialogues like that, it tends to spread like fire. And when you do that, that's when you see real changes come. And that's what we're hoping. We're just hoping to make it something that's more open so that parents know, doctors know that the parents are concerned and they want to be a part of their child's health care to make sure we're doing everything possible for our youth to grow up to be healthy, productive adults.
Great. And again, the website is bloodpressure4kids.org. Celeste Goodwin, National Pediatric Blood Pressure Awareness Foundation founder. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
And that's all the time we have for this edition of Health Chat. We thank our guest, Celeste Goodwin, president of the National Pediatric Blood Pressure Awareness Foundation. And for more on today's program, log on to our website at voanews.com/healthchat. That's voiceofamericanews.com/healthchat. Also join us on facebook.com and let's keep the conversation going. Just look for Health Chat.
I'm your host, Lenore Mudu in Washington, with producer Jackson Vunganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.